Welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, June the 11th, 2016. It is Season 10, Episode 24. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
I am Nathan.
He is Nathan. Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Sorry. Here it is, real quick. There we go. Hey, if you'd like to get in touch, we're all professionals around here. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. That number again is 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at ingamechat. You can find us on Facebook that way as well. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We're streaming on Twitch. Check out twitch.tv and go up to the little search button thingy. Type in in-game chat and you will find us and you will watch us and you will chat in our chat room about whatever you feel like chatting about in our chat room. Hey, we got AC Wraith in there. We got Drunk Degenerates, Multile, and the Wuzman Returns. Thank you guys for hanging out with us this afternoon. We'll probably have some more as the show goes on.
Like
then again, we might not, so...
Might have less.
Might even have less.
It's just going to be us.
A little bit exclusive show here. What is going on? Hang on a second.
Oh, God. It's like a dog. Scratches there.
Really itches. Ours is over there. They got to put up with this for another 2 hours.
I'm back.
Hello.
So we should probably just dive into the stuff that's going on. There was plenty going on this week. There's going to be plenty going on next week.
What's that event called?
Well,
it starts with an E. There's two more E's.
The one that lost its luster.
I don't know. You know, I don't think the stuff that we're looking forward to, which is basically tomorrow and Monday, that really hasn't lost its luster. That's still always exciting because you get some reveals. Although it kind of felt like this week, reveals were just happening left and right, and stuff that was probably waiting to be revealed at E3 was just kind of being let out of the bag early. But I still think there's a good deal more that we've got. You know, I think we'll go over some of our, not really predictions, I guess, but, you know, we'll go some of our anticipations, some of our things that we hope to see at E3, which begins tomorrow, by the way. The week is upon us. As you can tell, I am not going. Like, this is the first E3 I've missed in 7 or 8 years. It's a while.
It's the show before E3 you'd miss, right?
No. I never missed any of our shows.
Oh, you didn't. Okay.
No, the only shows I ever missed for us is when I would go to PAX.
Okay.
Because that took place over a weekend. E3 was something where I could do the show, and then Sunday morning I would fly out to Los Angeles, and then I would fly back on Friday.
Was it E3 last year when I had to take you back to the studio?
Yes.
That was already a year ago.
It was a year ago.
Oh my gosh.
Actually, it's already been over a year because E3 was.
Wow.
E3 was previous, was before this.
Wow.
I think, maybe. It might have been a little bit after. But anyway, yeah, so it's been a year, though, since
That's
you had
crazy.
To do that. Because I called you, I was like, dude, I left my... there was some way I'd arranged that I didn't have my car.
you done goofed.
I massively, massively goofed. I didn't have my car with me.
Left your laptop.
But I had left my laptop charger here at the station. And what time was it?
You had to be at the airport at 4:30.
And this was at midnight.
And you called me at 12 o'clock.
Yeah,
dude.
I was like, "You still up?"
And what stunk is that my sister lives right by you, and I had just gotten home.
Yeah.
So I was I had to go. And then I went to the gas station because I had to get gas before I picked you up. And then I left my gas tank cover and it fell off. And so then I had to buy a new gas cap.
Man. Good time.
Did you pay him back for the gas cap, Scott?
I don't remember you telling me this.
Yeah, I told you.
Yeah. No, I never paid him back for the gas cap.
Give him a gas cap.
It's okay.
Did you? You haven't replaced it in a year?
Oh yes, the next day I Amazoned it. Yeah, good times. Mm. Good times. I just can't believe that was a year ago.
Yeah, it's been a year.
Then again, you couldn't believe that the consoles are already 3 years old.
They'll
be 3 years old this year.
That was surprising. The consoles are 3 years. I don't know why. I guess it just feels like.
Well, they're already outdated.
Well, they were outdated the day they came out. But yeah, it's one of those situations where it felt like time just didn't go as fast as I thought. But anyway, enough of that. If you'd like to get in touch with us, if you want to give us your anticipated games for E3, you want to talk to us about E3, give us a call. 334-272-9228 is the number. I will say that I was an idiot, and we had plans on how we were going to do something for E3, set up some cameras and do some streaming and give some commentary while the whole thing was going on, but it is completely my fault because I did not put in for time off. I thought I was going to, I figured this week I'd just put in for the day, be like, I'm just going to take Monday off and they would be okay with that. And normally they would be. Normally they would be, except...
That was your boss saying no.
No, but my backup had already taken... That he 6 weeks ago he had put in for that day off, and without one of us here, somebody has to be here to do that position, and it's going to have to be
me. Is he going to E3?
No, he's not. I can't.
I'm kidding.
He's going to do that thing that you have to do at a certain age. That nobody knows who the guy is that I'm talking about, so it's fine. But when you get older...
He has to have the talk.
There's a thing... Well, it's not so much as the talk.
He could have a talk.
It's that thing that you have to do when you're older, and you have to go to a doctor, and you have to... They have to put a camera in places, and...
I don't know these such things you were talking about.
Yep. No, not yet, but you will. You will, son.
Son.
You will know these things.
Yes, father.
You will learn it with everyone else. I haven't experienced it yet either, but it's coming, I'm sure. But anyway, he already put in for it. I can't take the day off, so now all of our plans completely ruined. It is my fault. Normally, like if I was going to E3, the day I'd already been covered. There would have been like, I'm taking these days off. You'll have to move your little examination some other time. But I just, I didn't plan in advance, and that's what that gets you. You don't get the time off that you want to. I mean, I don't necessarily feel bad about it. I just feel like an idiot. That's all. It's like, oh, crap. All right, fine. So we've already got a plan, and I say we. I mean, me and another guy here at the station. We're gonna hook up a laptop to the projector downstairs, throw it up on the wall around 11:30, order a pizza or two, and then we're gonna sit there and watch the thing. If I get called away, I got to go do something. I'll run and go do it. But
adjust accordingly.
Yeah, we're gonna watch it here. So I'm just gonna do that. And enjoy it. So, and then I'm going to probably leave a little bit early because Ubisoft starts at 3 o'clock our time, and that's normally when I get off. But I think I'm going to, leave at about 2:30 and head to the house and then watch it there. And that's it. So, it's been a long time since I've had to do E3 this way. It's been, a good 8 years or so since I've had to do E3 this way. But that's how we're going to do it. So. I don't know. You guys probably have to work, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How are you guys going to, I guess you'll just watch it afterwards and just, catch up on it.
Yeah, I'll just read news and whatever.
Yeah.
I get home from work.
You'll probably read our chatter in the, in G Talk for the whole thing. But yeah, that's what's going on for E3. I'll watch now tomorrow. We'll run down the schedule. All the times that I mentioned here are going to be Eastern times, or I'm sorry, Central times. So adjust to your time accordingly. By the time you hear this on Tuesday when I upload the show, it ain't going to matter. Tomorrow, Sunday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I believe, is when, maybe 2:30, is when EA does their presentation. Bethesda starts at 9 p.m. Is when they do theirs. So check those out. I think it's 9 p.m. for us. Maybe 6.
For which one?
Bethesda.
They are 10:30 our time.
Really?
p.m. Yes. 11:30 Eastern. Mm. 8:30 Central, or 8:30 Pacific.
Yeah, 8:30 Pacific. So yeah, it would be 10:30 our time. Yikes. Ugh. Ugh. That's bad when you got to get up at 4:30 in the morning. Yuck. What are they going to show off?
Everything.
Yeah, Mass Effect. Well, no, that's an EA property, isn't it?
Yeah.
But they could still...
I have the times.
No, Mass Effect's BioWare. I'm sorry. I'm getting them screwed
isn't
up there.
Isn't that EA?
That's EA. Yeah. This is Bethesda we're talking about. This is the Doom guys. But, you know, Doom's out, so I guess maybe they'll talk about maps.
I'm sure some Skyrim, something remastered, something, blah, blah, blah.
Maybe. Or like that. Division. Dishonored 2 will be something that they could feature a lot of. Not sure what else they've got. But, yeah. So, EA, BioWare tomorrow. Microsoft starts off at 11:30 in the morning. Can you check and make sure I'm right on that?
On which day?
Monday.
Monday, 11:30 a.m.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Microsoft is 11:30 a.m. Then there's the PC show, the PC E3 show, which is like 1:30.
One.
It's 1 o'clock. Then Ubisoft at 3.
Yes.
And then Sony's at 8.
Yes.
Okay. So a bit spread out from normally, what you would normally have on a Monday is you'd have Microsoft, EA, Ubisoft, Sony, like back to back to back to back. And then... but
what happens when people leave?
Yeah, it's a little different now. So, yeah.
And then Tuesday.
Tuesday is Nintendo. I don't exactly know what time. I'm not really watching that. They're only going to be talking about the one game, which is Zelda.
Actually, they have two things: Tuesday and Wednesday.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. Both ones at 11, ones at 12.
Yeah. So we'll see what those are. But that's kind of like your E3 schedule there for you. And we'll talk more about that because there's plenty of things that were talked about leading up to E3 this entire week. But before we get to that, we should go over what we've all played and everything else. And we'll start with Nate. We'll start with you since you weren't here last week. What's you been playing?
I have been obsessed and hooked on Counter-Strike. Mm. That's all I've been playing. Between this week and last week, I've put about 25 hours in.
Get kind of a revival of such or sort.
It happened,
you know?
Because of little Overwatch.
Oh,
playing a competitive shooter. And I was like, oh, this is fun. And then when after me and James backed out, I didn't want to, you know. Overwatch is more of a class-based shooter, you know, as of where Counter-Strike is a gun situational map knowledge, you know, shooter. You know, it's old, but this is CSGO. And so I was like, you know, I've just been wanting to play something more competitive, you know, and then have that sense of old-style community, you know, a bunch of people smack talking and stuff on
right
just the, you know, old school Steam. So I've been playing that. You can't play competitive games until you get rank 3, which rank 3 takes every bit of 10 to 15 hours if you're learning to play Counter-Strike, because you get XP per rank. And so it took me about 10-15 hours to get rank 3. Then I was finally doing some competitive games last night, and then with competitive games you play 15 rounds on each side of counter-terrorists, terrorists, and then, you know, you get matched with people around your ranking, but you don't even get an official ranking until you've won 10 matches. So it took me to play 3 games, which would be 90 matches, took me about 3 hours, which I only won one of them, so it'll probably take me a while before I get... an actual
so you
rank.
Get nothing for a loss, no XP or anything like
you
that?
You get XP, okay. But like the XP differences is if you do well and lose, you'll get, let's just say it takes 3,000 XP to rank.
Okay.
Well, because you have two separate ranks. You have like your actual like profile ranking, and then you have competitive ranking. So they're two different ranks. So you have to win 10 matches to even get a competitive rank shown, but you're constantly earning profile, you know, your main profile rank. But if you win, you get about 600 to 700 XP towards, say, 3,000 XP to level up. If you lose and you do well, at best you're getting 200 at best. More likely 100, 150. So, but both of those rankings can take a while to earn. But you can actually make decent money on Counter-Strike, because I've sold three cases that I've earned for like 60 cents each.
Yeah.
Which builds up over time.
Yeah, and it's good to have something in the old Steam wallet that you can go
I've just been buying skins.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've been obsessed with Counter-Strike.
What else?
Just Counter-Strike.
Just that?
Just Counter-Strike.
God.
Because I can play it on my laptop, so I can play it at work.
I expected a litany of, like, things, but that's it. So, Counter-Strike and car chases, that's pretty much it, huh? All right. No. RJ, over to you.
I'm still playing The Usual, man. I'm still playing Dark Souls 3.
Last night playing that, actually.
Yeah, I'm working on my fourth character in the game. Doing something I haven't done. I don't think I've ever done in any of the Souls series. I'm playing as a sorcerer, and it is a struggle trying to get through that game, despite all the playthroughs I've done through before, having to put a lot of levels in attunement and intelligence to make my spells worthy of using. Mm-hmm. I'm not putting anything in, like, vitality. I can't carry as much.
All the stuff that you normally...
I'm not doing it. So I can't take as much damage. I can't carry as much stuff. I can't defend and roll and attack as much because my endurance is not as high as I'm used to it being. So it's a struggle. It's adjusting, trying to do that. So I'm working on that. It's taking a longer time to get through the game that I want to as a sorcerer. But outside of that, I'm trying to work on my main character. I'm trying to get to new game plus 7. I think that's the max level of scaling. Mm-hmm. It'll go up. So you get the most amount of souls and most types of benefits and items and things like that when you get to
and
that
probably
level.
The most difficult enemies.
Yeah,
too.
The most difficult enemies in the game. So I'm trying to get there because I've never gone plus 7 in any of the Souls series before, and I really want to try it in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it might be a while before I see another in the Souls series for a while. So I want to try it in this
and
one.
And you've been playing Battleborn, I guess.
A little bit of Battleborn. I'm still trying to get past the fourth story mission. It's basically an escort mission, trying to get these little pods to this computer to upload and back up the data there or something like that. But it's a little time. I'm probably going to have to end up doing a story mode public or something like that. Or if I know anybody else who's playing it, get together with them and start playing it, try to get through the story that way. Mm-hmm. But other than that, those are the only two games I've been playing this week, really.
Yeah.
Not this week, but the prior week, I was also playing Battlefield 4. Me, James, and the gamer me, we all played together a couple hours.
I played, as you know, I played Dangerous Golf. Really had a lot of fun with that. I have
got some good high scores out of that.
Oh, I've had some tons of fun with that. I think their leaderboards are broken, though. Hmm. Well, because it shows that I platinumed in one of the levels, but it doesn't show my score in a ranking. So, you know, on the friends leaderboard, there's this guy at number one, and then it says, hey, play this hole to get ranked. Mm-hmm. I was like, but I already did. You gave me a platinum on it. So I'm not sure if their leaderboards are broke or what's going on there, and I'm sure it'll get fixed. This is not an early access game, but it might as well be for all the updates that they're trying to push out to it. But I am in love with that game so far. Now, I have read where it does, the difficulty in it does increase because, see, there's, you start off fine where you just break stuff, you know, just break stuff and get a high score. Then it moves you into positions where the flag doesn't, the end flag that you've got to make the putt will not show up unless you get a certain amount of scores, unless you get a certain amount of scoring in the level. Then there's the chase for a platinum trophy always. There's two chases. There's a chase to get platinum, but there's also the chase to beat whoever else has a high score.
Right.
For the most part, so far, the people on there's not enough people on PC playing that are on my friends list that are making that up there. I think there's two other people playing. I haven't been on in a while. It's been about a week since I played, so there may be more, but at that time there was only two. So there's a score chase there. And there are, so the difficulty can be in trying to beat that score. Then there's one where you have a time limit. It counts down from 30 seconds, and you've got to do as much damage as possible to get the final flag to pop up. There'll be a bronze flag that pops up once you get a certain score. You keep going, the silver flag pops up, the gold flag, and then the platinum flag, and then eventually the final flag. If you can make the final flag pop up before the timer runs out, it'll set the ball down and you can make your putt.
Now, do all the flags show up on the screen at the same time?
No, no.
Okay, so when you get the bronze one, when the silver one pops up, the bronze goes away?
No. I'm sorry. That's what you meant. Yeah. They all stay there.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can then make your putt. And depending on how you position the ball, if you're near the bronze flag, you can make your putt there. And then it'll pop out and say, okay, you know, it won't end the game until you make either you miss a putt attempt mm-hmm. or you make it into the final red flag hole.
Okay.
So I can go for the bronze flag and get some money. Then I can go for the silver, and then I can go for the... You can go in any order
right.
you want to.
Right, okay.
But you're trying to position yourself so that red flag is the last one that you need to put into. Because
mm-hmm.
sometimes if you go for the platinum first or you go for something else, depending on the order you go to, you can set yourself in a position where you're not in a position to make that final putt.
Right.
And then you get half points deducted
yeah.
from your score. And you never want to do that. So there's difficulty raised in that. Then I was reading online where even in further levels, there's certain objects in the environment that they don't want you to hit. So if you hit those objects, you get a penalty.
Wow. So when you're used to breaking everything you can, now you get in a room where
you can't.
I don't
like that, man.
Yeah.
This reminds me, this is why game developers put these things in here will bug me to no end. You make a game called Splinter Cell and make it stealthy, but you give me a level where I can't be stealthy, which annoys the hell out of me. It does whenever they do this, you know? And so you give me something like Dangerous Golf, and then you say, no, we don't want you to damage this thing over here. That's ridiculous. Your whole thing is about destruction.
Then it becomes Careful Golf.
Yeah, then it becomes annoying is what it becomes. Yeah.
Because I'm thinking already ricochets off of something that you didn't intend.
Well, I mean, you can control, right? Well, I'm not sure about that. That's a good question. It may be one of those things where just the ball doesn't need to make contact, but I don't know. Have you seen me play the game at all?
I haven't seen the game, but I've seen a still shot we were looking at last week. There's a museum.
Mm-hmm.
There's like busts
and
vases all over the place.
Yeah, and they explode.
And they explode. So I'm thinking, what if you hit this...
When I hit plates, they go all over the place. And
you hit a statue, and all of a sudden the ball ricochets into that vase you weren't supposed to hit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's things like that. I don't know. I haven't gotten there. There's like 100 or some odd levels in the game. So, I mean, it's a...
Okay.
For the $16 that it was on sale for, it's a pretty good price. It's $20 now, but that's still not bad for 100 levels worth of really awesome destruction.
Yeah, I think that was the price on PS4 as well.
That's how much it was on PS4 at launch. And so, I mean, it's there. I stopped playing it because I picked up Tuesday, I picked up Mirror's Edge Catalyst. Mm-hmm. And I actually finished that last night.
Hmm.
15 missions is all it is. You can get through it, obviously, in just a couple of nights. You can easily get through that game pretty fast, but it's got some annoyances that you will have to put up with.
So you got through fast. Any replay value in that thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
There is replay value in the sense that there are time trials, which I hate. I'm never a fan of beat the clock. I can't stand that. That raises my anxiety level. It's like underwater levels when you can't breathe. I don't like that stuff.
It's like that stuff in an Arkham, like laps and courses and beat the clock or things like that.
Yeah, I never liked that stuff.
Never liked those either.
The Batmobile stuff. Again, here's another game where the developers forced you to use that Batmobile. Of course, I can't blame them because everybody and their mother kept saying, give us the Batmobile. And I was like, why? Why do you want the Batmobile? Why do you want that? Batman is like perfection, man, and you can't drive perfection. You cannot drive. You can't put that in the player's hand and have them drive that car and make it look smooth. Make it look like something that Batman would do, running into buildings and stopping and trying to back up and do all these stupid maneuvers and things like that. This is, I don't know. They used it way too much in that game. It's one of the biggest flaws that game had that were not technical on my end.
Yeah.
But I guess mechanical for the game.
Yeah, wasn't one of the most difficult parts in that game where you had to like protect the police station in the Batmobile?
Yeah, the very end. It's one of the very final things. You have a ton of tanks that come up onto the police station.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to protect the police station. You just have to survive the onslaught and take out, 20 or 25. different tanks there, and you've got to take them all out and survive
it. Yeah, I've seen that cutscene where Barbara gets shot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen that a ridiculous number of times in that game playing that.
It was, oh, God. Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm not, I'm just not a fan of when they do that stuff. What are they talking about in the chat room? I have not been.
Destiny.
They're talking about Destiny. Yeah, we're going to get to Destiny, all right? We're going to get to that. But anyway, played Mirror's Edge Catalyst. Like I said, it's 15 missions long. However, there's a ton of stuff to do in there. There's time trials. There's deliveries, which are, again, based on, like, do this in a certain amount of time. There's a bunch of collectible things to find that are scattered across the city to pick up.
Well, like Crackdown?
Very much like Crackdown.
Okay.
There's like 300-some-odd orbs to pick up.
Okay.
And I'm not kidding. They're orbs.
Orbs, literal orbs.
Yeah, they are orbs. And you can pick them up and you get 10 XP like every time you pick one up. There's also like security chips that you can take out and stuff like that. And I guess eventually you can rid the world of your enemies that are in there, the security people that are in there. I guess you can get rid of that. I don't really know because I have no desire to go through and do all those collectible things. I have no desire to do any of that. The running is fun. There were moments where it was like, okay, this is good. This is Mirror's Edge. This is what I came to play this game for. Mm-hmm. And then there are moments where I wanted to snap my controller into, because of the combat. The combat is horrible. The combat is annoying. The fact that they force you into it. Again, here we go. Here's a game where... I don't know. I wish I had my thoughts in a better complete order instead of just being all these random things right now. But the first game was great. It had a nice linear story. You just went through level by level by level. It was like, here's a thing. Every end of a level set you up for the next level that you had to go into. It was not open world. It was not free roam. I could see the desire for a free roam type thing. I could see the desire for an open world so that you could just run forever.
Well, that's exactly how Dying Light, being able to run, like that.
Yeah.
And that's open world.
Yeah. Well, we always said Dying Light was a cross between Dead Island and Mirror's Edge.
I remember Mirror's Edge. I mean, it was like I said earlier, but it's like multiple paths to get to the same spot. You know, you could crawl over this or jump over this or go this way around this.
You've got multiple paths all over this thing because it's an open world thing. So your paths are really, really open to mess around with and play around with if you want to. But because it's so big and map memory, the fact that everything's white. You know, it's got that. Utopian feel, this whole thing where everything is like very white and clean. Mm-hmm. So there's not, it's hard to get that map memory in your head.
I'm trying to remember, I haven't played Catalyst, but I remember Mirror's Edge didn't have like the red, would stand out
and
for
that's
like
exactly
the ideal path.
It's got this little red ghost trail that just periodically flies through and goes into a direction. Mm-hmm. And you can just kind of follow it. And things will be red. Anytime something's red, that's pretty much you need to go in that direction.
Okay.
It's not everything can be jumped off of or run on or everything. There's all you can. The environment's there, but if you've set a waypoint, the ones that are red is in the direction you need to go to. Mm-hmm. Now, that if you do a time trial, you'll still have that, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the fastest way to get from point A to point B.
Right.
You can switch that up if you want to. I hate them.
I see that reminds me of SSX.
Yeah.
When it was remade. The path that's ideal isn't the quickest.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You have to do one of the time trials. You have to, because they introduce you to a character at the very early stage of the game, and you have to do one of the time trials.
Okay.
Then after that, you don't have to do any of them.
Okay.
However, there are missions later in the story mission where it's like you've got a certain amount of time to do something. However, what I found out was that the timing on that was okay. There was no – you were all right. They gave you plenty of time to do what you had to do. But when they force you into combat, and this was something that everybody hated about the first one. They forced us into combat with those guys with guns. We couldn't move unless we did the combat with them. And
right.
Luckily, that was only like one. I remember one specific level where it forced you into that. The other ones you really didn't have to worry about. The environment was your, not necessarily nemesis, but the environment was the puzzle, sort of, in a sense. It was just you got to get from point A to point B, and you got to figure out how to do it in the first game. The second game does have that, but because it's so big, you basically do follow the red line. You follow the line, the yellow brick road, in a sense, from point A to point B. And then they will put you in scenarios where you have to fight. I mean, seriously, the objective is...
like, clear out all these...
clear out enemies.
Yeah.
Yeah, clear out the enemies to progress. And it's just annoying. God, I just... if you're in the open world and you meet up with the enemies, you can run by them. You can get away from them.
Yeah.
But on missions, you had to fight them. And it was very, very annoying.
Same type? Gun-carrying guards?
You have baton-carrying guards who only pose a threat close by, but really don't pose a threat at all. Then you have the gun guys. Then you have shocker guys, which shoot some kind of, like, I don't know, electric node or something.
Taser type?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you've got guys who fight like you fight and are runners. And they're annoying. They are annoying to do. So then you get stuck in rooms with all three types or four types or whatever. And so you've got ranged guys and you've got close-up guys. And then you got a guy who's running you down. In the meantime, you're trying to... yeah, it's just... God, it got annoying. It really got annoying. But I was so determined. Chapter 13, I think. Chapter 13 was a really annoying chapter. 14 has a time trial where you have to disable three antennas in the world within 3 minutes. And they put gun guys there again, but you can kind of outrun them and kind of dodge while you're also trying to do your objective.
Mm-hmm.
It gets kind of annoying. I will say the checkpoint system is very, very generous. So I was never put in a situation where it's like, oh God, I've got to go through all this again. It was very, very generous. There was one time when I respawned and all the guys who I had fought did not respawn themselves, the ones I had killed. And the ones I hadn't killed already had like half the health drawn from when I had fought them earlier. Mm-hmm. So all the gun turrets I had disabled were already gone. So it didn't, while it put me back at the start of the fight, it didn't regenerate everything that I had done.
Right.
Okay. So thanks for that, I guess. But this is a passable game. I mean, if it's on sale, grab it. And if you've got a PC that can make the thing look good, if it's on sale on PC, pick it up then. And I'm thinking $25, maybe something like that. But I'm taking it back to Best Buy. I'm on that Gamers Club Unlock thing. So I'm going to take that back to Best Buy and get my money back and then hang on to my credit for whatever next is coming out. And that may be Doom tomorrow, depending on if the PC copy for that is going to be on sale. Mm. By the way, for those of you who are, if you've got a Best Buy around, Battleborn and Doom are going to be on sale for about $40 each. I think Battleborn will be a little bit cheaper starting tomorrow at Best Buy. And if you're a Gamers Club Unlocked member, you get 10% off of that. So Doom will be about $30, and then Battleborn will be cheaper than that. So just a little
I heard Until
PSA
Dawn
there.
Was
Until Dawn is on sale right now.
Okay, yeah, because I was.
And I think you can get that for about $11, $10 if you're a Gamers Club Unlocked member. I think it's about $15 right now.
Yeah.
I
was always looking to get into that, but
I actually did pick that up a couple of months back in March when it was on sale, and I got it for about $12.
Okay, well, I got a shot now. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks.
Anyway, we need to take a break. We're way behind on taking a break, so we need to take that break, and when we come back, we'll talk more with in-game chat. If you've got you got comments, you want to bring up a subject, give us a call. 334-272-9228 is the number, 334-272-9228. I need to bring the volume down on this because I know exactly what it's going to sound like. Anyway, we'll be right back. Here's music from Silent Hill. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music from Chrono Trigger. That is Lavos' theme. I don't think he's in the chat room with us this week. He is not. So, yeah.
I don't know why the beginning of that kind of makes me think of Resident Evil. I don't know why.
Gives me a Castlevania theme or something, yeah.
The organ does.
Yeah.
You know, just looking...
What?
Looking through these pictures, I found that Last of Us album cover.
Oh, okay.
The one with the girl.
No.
With, like, the mushrooms were, like, coming out, like, the side of her...
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah, that
Love
part.
That picture.
Yeah. Ugh. I know the one you're talking about.
Yes.
We were going back because we were explaining to RJ how Gamers Club Unlocked at Best Buy works. Mm-hmm. And how we got in on it. It's such a great deal. I spent, what, 20-some-odd bucks, and then my receipt said I saved $300? Yeah. It was really awesome. So, anyway, welcome back to the show. So, yeah, that was my thoughts on Mirror's Edge, was that the story is horrible. I mean, it's just not good. I mean, it begs to wonder why I continue playing through the game if I really... It sounds like I didn't really have a good time with it, but I will say that the running parts of it were really nice. I really enjoyed... The parts where I got to run were great. The parts where it put me into a puzzle room was even better. When it puts you into a room and it's like, hey, you need to get up there and you need to figure out how to do that, they would turn your little runner helper thing off, and you'd be in, locked in a room and figure out how to scale it. And I was like, that's great. Reminds me of Crackdown. Whenever you would see a building, you're like, okay, how can I get up there? I can jump over to that building, and get up there. When you would climb the shard or whatever it was, mm-hmm. At the thing, there was a certain way to get up that building. And so I enjoyed those parts of it. But anytime they threw combat, and that was almost in every single mission, they would throw combat at you. I was not a fan. I wasn't a fan of the fact that you had to earn XP and upgrade your abilities. They threw in a grapple hook. They threw in a grapple hook that would let you swing across, and it would do two things. It would either swing across, or you could grab onto stuff and pull it down to, you know, make a path. If something was in your way type thing, you could pull the things down. Only certain things would work and that sort of thing. And then there was also ones where you could stand and it would pull you up. These are not, aside from the swinging, these are not things that continue your momentum. Something where you have to stop and be pulled up to a ledge stops your momentum. Something where you have to stop and pull a wall down stops your momentum. Combat stops your momentum. So, you know, that's... And I'm sure they thought this way, but I'm sure executives or suits or whatever came in and said, no, we need this to be... We need it to be open world, because look at all the open world games out there that are doing great. Make it open world. We need it to have the... I just feel like the obvious answer to a game like Mirror's Edge is keep the player running. Keep them moving. Mm-hmm. Don't put anything in their way to stop them.
Now, the story was based pre Mirror's Edge 1, right?
Right. It's like they took Mirror... It's somewhat...
I thought it was supposed to be a pseudo-reboot or something like that.
It's somewhat referred to as a reboot because this gives a much deeper backstory to Faith.
Okay.
And it basically is like, okay, let's start at the beginning of her journey, and kind of doesn't make any reference to the previous game.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I just there were just problems with that. I had a lot of fun in Mirror's Edge. It kind of makes me want to go back and play Mirror's Edge, to be honest with you, the first one. So anyway, moving on. Well, yeah, we got about 10 minutes here. We could talk about some Destiny. What is it called?
Oh, I don't know.
Did I get Rise of Iron? Yeah, okay. The trailer, there was leaks all over the place this week, and one of those leaks happened to be the trailer and the release date for the new Destiny expansion, Rise of Iron. It is going to be released September the 20th, I think, yeah. September the 20th is when it's going to be released. This is not going to have... If you're playing Destiny on the 360 or the PS3, you're out of luck. This is not going to, you will not be able to do, at this point, in fact, they have a timeline on this. August of 2016, your progression on the two different platforms or consoles is going to split now. So your 360 character is going to go in a completely different direction than what your Xbox One character would go through. Your PS3 character is going to go in a completely different direction than what your PS4 character would go through because of this update. So, and I would expect future updates will not be taking place on the older platforms. I think this is their...
But it's time.
Taken King was their swan song on that one, and that is it. So yeah, this will release then. I think it is $30 instead of $40 like Taken King was. Taken King was, I think, was $40 when it released.
Yeah, and then you got...
Yeah. And this one's, I think, $29.99. I think it's $30.
And hopefully it's $20 if you own the other.
Yeah, nah, they haven't done that yet. It will require you to own Taken King if you get this up. Pre-orders of the game include the Galahorn rocket launcher. The expansion will include a new campaign, new quests, new armor, new gear, new weapons, new raids, new strikes, and, of course, a light increase. Looks like it's going to have new enemies as well from what the trailer was showing off. So... really curious as to as what and the talk from everybody who we played with, James, Nate, Drunk Degenerates, who's in the chat room with us, a couple of others where this is coming out. So we're looking to probably get back into this come September. We had a good perfectly good time with Taken King. I got a lot of time out of that one, more so than I did the original game. So yeah, I'll probably be jumping back on that horse come September.
Agreed.
Yeah, and we'll do it all over again. So, I'm saving the Sony news for next hour.
I agree.
Yeah, figured that. We had some leaks. Injustice 2 leaked.
Yeah.
So we're gonna get that for E3, and probably in the fall. We got the Watch Dogs 2 leak, basically, whatever it was. I don't even know if it was a leak anymore. But here's a game that I didn't know anybody wanted a sequel to. But I think Ubisoft is dead set to make a franchise out of this. They're like, look, we're not doing Assassin's Creed this year. We got to have something. So here's our Watch Dogs. You don't have a Far Cry in the can? Nope, we don't have a Far Cry. We already released a Far Cry this year. We don't have anything for this. So we need something to take our place of the Assassin's Creed hole that we have for this year's release. Well, let's give them Watch Dogs 2. What about that Splinter Cell property we got? No, let's give them Watch Dogs 2.
Or something new.
No, let's give them Watch Dogs 2. Let's not do anything new. Let's not do anything creative. Let's just give them Watch Dogs 2. So that's what we're getting, Watch Dogs 2.
And
we're getting a Ghost Recon as well, I think.
And I mean, you know, the Division came out this year, and I think it's partially that we're kind of burnt out from them. I just feel like they've been kind of
Ubisoft?
Ubisoft,
or?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Not that they've been doing bad games, it's just that they've just kind of been like, eh. You know. At least that's how I feel, kind of burnt out by them.
The last thing they did that I truly, truly enjoyed was...
Conviction?
No. Valiant Hearts.
Okay.
You know, that was a Ubisoft, let's do something different, let's do something new.
The Division was new.
Yeah, but it didn't click for me. So the last thing I really enjoyed was not the Division. You guys got a ton of fun out of it, and you got your money's worth out of Division. It didn't click for me.
Yeah.
So... but there you go. There's a Tom Clancy game, and then Tom Clancy with Rainbow Six. But let's Splinter Cell. Just give him a Splinter Cell. Just do it. This is one of my hopes for E3 this year.
Well, I mean, there were Splinter Cell goggles right in your main base on the Division.
Was there?
If you walked in right where the main girl's standing, that gives you like the quests and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Behind her on the table, there's the night vision goggles.
Nice. Well, just give that. That's one of the ones I hope. Out of Ubisoft, that's it. Every year Ubisoft comes around. It's like, what do you hope for? I'm hoping for Splinter Cell.
And they're like, no.
Let's give them another Assassin's Creed. Let's give them another Far Cry. Let's give them Rainbow Six, but not the Rainbow Six that everybody enjoyed. You know, let's don't give them another Vegas. Let's give them Rainbow Six Siege. Let's give them The Division again, which is a Division a lot of people enjoyed. But let's not touch our Splinter Cell property. I don't know why.
Scott's rant for the day.
I got more. But not, yeah. I already ranted about Mirror's Edge.
That's true. Well, yeah, but you were explaining that. I was going to rant.
Got a new game from Volition, which I was hoping would be a Saints Row again. I don't mind them spitting out that many Saints Rows. But we got Agents of Mayhem from Volition. That was a completely CG trailer. I have no idea what that's about. It looks like it's single player, but you're controlling three different people. So three different classes, maybe. I don't know. I was worried at first that it was like, oh, God, here we go again with... Let's make it open world. Let's make it
collectibles.
Whatever, you know. Let's put them in with groups where you can go into multiplayer anytime you want to, or something like that. They're going to follow that formula again, but it doesn't sound like they're actually going to do that. From what we know of that, we did get delays. Horizon Zero Dawn got delayed, but showed off another fantastic trailer for it, which again looked all CG. Didn't look like there was any. I'm not sure that there was any gameplay in that. But I'm hoping that we'll get some gameplay out of E3. What else got delayed? Ukulele, which I'm not really up for, but there's a lot of people who are interested in that, got delayed until next year as well. And, yeah, so that's what we got. And we're getting close to the top of the hour here again. So.
Hey, real quick, did you see Tuesday? Monday it was announced, and then Tuesday it came out, was Rick and Morty Season 2.
Season 2?
Mm-hmm. For DVD or Blu-ray.
Oh, no, yeah, I knew that was coming out.
Yeah.
It wasn't announced on Monday, and then...
Yeah, it sort of was. Like, they made it official. They never gave the official date. At least I never saw one.
Really?
Every time I ever was on the Reddit, it just said to be announced.
That's odd, because I've been seeing that pop up on... The Blu-ray forum that I go to every year, I check that out every day because every now and again they'll let me know when Amazon has some big sales on some Blu-rays, and so I check it pretty much every day. Just click the deals button and see what's there. And that Rick and Morty has been up there.
It just never up
for a while.
I just never paid attention.
Yeah. I'll wait till it drops in price though, because it's like 20 some odd bucks right now.
Oh, the first one never dropped.
Oh, it did. It went down to like 12 or 15. So that one should go as well.
Well, on your Blu-ray thing, you probably saw it.
Yeah. Check it every day.
I'm not that up to date on... I just buy Muse.
I'm just saying, I check... There are two things I check. I check that, and I check my game deals subreddit.
Oh, yeah. I always check game deals.
Which I picked up a nice free copy of Fallout 4 on my Xbox One for completely no charge. I tried to get the Digital Deluxe Edition or whatever it was. And when I clicked on that, it gave me an error message. And I thought, oh, crap. So I clicked on the regular game. It was like, here you go. It's free. And I clicked to buy it. Then I clicked on each individual. Then I clicked on the season pass, and I bought it. Then I clicked on each individual thing, and it said, oh, this is already in your cart because I bought the season pass. And I was like, good. I'm covered there. Then I went to the Digital Deluxe version, and I said, and it showed me where I could still buy it. And it was free. And I clicked on that and bought it as well. Then I went to my Xbox, and I said, install that. So it went to install, and... The next day they said, hey, we're going to revoke those licenses because that was an error on our part. We're going to drop $10 credit into your Microsoft account or whatever, but we're gonna take away those licenses because that was an error. For a while there, I thought maybe at Bethesda's press conference tomorrow they were going to do a little thing where it's like, hey, if you're on Xbox One, you get Fallout 4 for free. Or at Microsoft's press conference or something like that, where, you know, if you go in the next hour or something, you can get it for, who knows, but it was a complete error on their part, and we're getting $10.
And it doesn't happen if you're here,
right?
Finally.
Well, that's one of those things, man. They would do these things where it's like, hey, this is available now, and I'd be like, well, I won't get to play it until I get home a week from now. Which the Halo Wars 2 beta starts Monday. I didn't even know. I, for whatever reason, Halo Wars 2 never crossed my mind. I had no idea that that was happening. But I loved Halo Wars, the first one. Now, it's not done by Ensemble, because Ensemble doesn't exist anymore. But I really liked Halo Wars. So now that they're getting a sequel, I'm very interested in that. But the beta for that starts Monday. Something else I wouldn't be able to get into if I was out at E3. So I don't know. I may continue to do this stay-at-home from LA thing for a good while now. But then again, I don't know. I may go back next year. I'm not sure. We got to take a break. When we come back, we will talk about Sony's press conference. We'll talk about Microsoft's press conference. We'll talk about anything you want to talk about. If you give us a call, 334-272-9228 is the number. So give us a call in. Tell us what your thoughts and anticipations are for E3, what you're hoping for, what you expect to see, what you'd like to see. Let us know. 334-272-9228. Here is music from Alan Wake. I would love something from that, but we won't get that. But it's called Welcome to Bright Falls, and we will be right back after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Speaking of Ghost Recon, there is music from Ghost Recon. Welcome back to the show. Coming this hour, we'll talk about, we'll hopefully talk to GT South. We'll talk about GT South. But yeah, sometime this hour. And did you go Thursday?
No, I was playing Dark Souls.
I know. I don't think you went last night either, did you?
No.
Because I saw, because when I was playing Mirror's Edge, I saw you playing Dark Souls 3. By the way, to go back to Mirror's Edge again, this was something I said the first night I started playing, was like, hey, I've got 30 friends on PSN right now, online, and there is, what was it, one person playing? Or there was none. There was none. There was,
and then for me, I had...
But you had two, which included me.
Including you out of 23.
Yeah. And let me tell you, every time I signed on to play, I checked my friends list to see if anybody was playing. Nobody was playing. This game is not... I don't know. I shouldn't go by just my friends list, but usually that's a good litmus test, you know, to see what everybody's
you're
big on.
Pretty popular.
Yeah. No. It's not that I'm popular, but to check your friends list to see what people are playing is kind of a good litmus test to see how well a game is doing.
Because, I mean, there was a while when we would look on Destiny, and we'd have like a ton of people that we hadn't seen forever, like, oh, they're playing Destiny again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
And we'll get that whenever the expansion comes out as
well. You guys usually think like your friends list is a litmus, like a... pretty much has the same, almost the same gaming taste that you have. So you,
The thing, the game I saw being played the most on PS4 was a division between Division and Overwatch being played, with the outliers being Uncharted 4, you know, here and there. But nobody was touching Mirror's Edge. The entire time I played it, nobody was touching that. So it was not really strange to see. It was just one of those things. I never checked PC to see if anybody was on Origin playing it. I never checked Xbox One to see who was playing it there. It just didn't seem like that was, you know.
I ought to check that more often.
Yeah,
I get like maybe 22, 25, something around there, folks online, but I don't think I've
which kind of really bugs me because if
attention to the, what they're playing at the moment.
Yeah, because if this game doesn't do well, they're like, ah, you know what, that sequel didn't do well. Let's not revisit that again, right. Unless it forces them to revisit it and say, okay, maybe we got something wrong here. Let's go back to the formula from the first one, mm-hmm. and go to that. You know, I'd like to see something like that. So it's just really strange. Where was I going before I started talking about Mirror's Edge?
PS4.
Well, the PS4. Let's talk about that. Which I really wish W. Matthew was on. I really expected him to be on today and call in and talk about this. But we got word, was it yesterday or the day before? It was yesterday, wasn't it? It was yesterday morning. Andrew House did an interview, and he's with Sony, saying that they basically confirmed that the PS Neo, the PS4 Neo, the PS4K, whatever, that exists. That is something that they're going to do. And it confirmed everything that we thought about it, with the exception of it being revealed at E3. They're not going to reveal it at E3. They're not even going to talk about it at E3. And I am very curious as to how this decision came about. They're saying it's because they need more content to show for it, and they want to make sure that the library is robust so that they can show off the right games and then talk about it. But I'm not sure that Microsoft's reveal last week or the week before, whenever it was, saying that, hey, we're gonna update our console too, didn't sort of force them into a let's hold off here for a second.
Which they've done as of late a lot when it comes to
let's let them. Microsoft make their move first, and then let's make ours afterwards. I'm not sure if that was the case. I really don't know. You wish you could be a fly on the wall in some of these meetings, right? To know what they're actually really saying when they sit down and say, okay, look, Microsoft just announced this. What are we going to do? If theirs is what they say it is, then it's going to blow us out of the water, and they're going to be the go-to platform for games that look great and all this other stuff. Plus, we're going to be announcing a price here, and they could come back and beat us on that price, and then... God, what if it all goes to, you know, what if it all goes downhill here for us? Mm-hmm. So I'd like to think that E3 plans are in place well ahead of a week before, but I don't know. I really don't know. There's a documentary here that somebody should make as to the planning that goes into an E3 situation, and something that is completely made outside of the realm of Microsoft and Sony, something that is just a completely unbiased view of all the ways that they have to go through and set all these things up and put these things into motion. You know, what games are going to get revealed and all the talk that goes into how they're going to do that and how it's going to be placed in the lineup. Mm-hmm. What happens when audibles are called? Are audibles called at all? Is this all set in stone weeks before so that they can have... the people on stage and the scripts written that have to be said, they can have the timing of the show down so that everything goes like it's supposed to go. They can have the necessary props and gameplay footage, because the games that they're going to show, if they're going to get a presentation on stage at E3, the developers have to go through and build whatever's going to be shown. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things I actually hate about E3 is because development on a project either halts so that they can build this slice for E3, or... the pressure gets put on the devs even more. It's like, look, while you're working on this, you've got to finish, you've got all these weekly goals or monthly goals or however they do it. Like, this week we've got to finish up these. Also this week, we've got to finish up our E3 presentation or whatever. We've got to do this. So it's just more pressure on them, more crunch, I guess you could say, for them. Yeah. I'm just really curious at all the workings that goes on to put on these press conferences between these big companies that do this, Sony and Microsoft preferably, because they're in competition with each other. EA comes out and they just show off whatever they want to show off. Ubisoft has the same thing. They just show off whatever they want to show off. But I'm really curious as to where Microsoft and Sony are concerned as to how that goes about. Yeah, I'm very curious as to how that all works. So that's something I would like to see. But I think that's something we'll never see. We might get some insight from people who used to work there and that sort of thing to tell us how it went. But I'd really like to see
really like to see how it goes, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Sony's decision now is that they're not going to reveal the Neo, the 4K, the whatever it's called. They're going to wait and do it until they've got some games. Although they do say that they're going to sell both through the life cycle of the console. Confirm the upgraded version would support 4K TV sets. The upgraded system looks like it'll also be a smoother experience for those looking to pick up the PlayStation VR, which releases, by the way, in October. And so if this... I'm sorry, go ahead.
You just saying... That almost makes me wonder, what if they're wanting to focus more on VR right now and not take away from VR with the 4K?
Maybe, but we've talked about the fact that that VR is not going to be the best thing in the world because that system can't push it.
They still might be better off
pushing maybe.
VR.
Yeah. It's very possible. Yeah, I don't know. He also said that all games will support the standard PS4, and we anticipate all or a very large majority of games will also support the high-end PS4. I wanted to make sure that there was a full range of experience that could be shown off to fans when the company does eventually unveil it. He did not say when the new console is expected to be released or how much it's expected to sell for. Rumors suggested that it would go for about $400. And that's where we are. We're not going to get a new PS4 console reveal at E3. I'm guessing the technical side of their presentation now will focus on that VR. I really thought it would be focusing on... this was something that we all expected would be out in October around the same time as the release of the VR. Or some type of holiday thing. And that may still be the plan. I do not know. But the fact that they've not necessarily backpedaled, they've just officially come out and said this and put their stance in not showing it off at E3 makes me wonder when. Because they've said nothing as to like when they're going to talk about this. They could be waiting for Microsoft. I don't know. Microsoft probably isn't going to give much help to them other than saying we are working on a system that will support 4K to be released next year. However, we've got this slim version of our current system that goes on sale this holiday season forever how much, which is fine. That poses no threat to Sony. A slimmer version of your console really doesn't, unless... You know, it's beefed up. It's not really going to do much there to be a threat to Sony. So I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know. I really don't know about that. That's very interesting. And are they waiting for the other people to make their move first so that they don't get stuck behind the eight ball in a sense? Because Microsoft's big push... Obviously, we don't know this from Microsoft, but you can just look at Microsoft's record and just say that, yeah, they're tired of being second place to Sony right now. They're behind in console sales. They're behind in what their console can do. Drunk the Dinner, it's in the chat room, says probably PSX, which takes place in December, I believe. The PlayStation Experience thing, that takes place in December. So... Yeah, that's a good point that he makes. So that may happen. We might see something in December when it rolls around. So anyway, we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we will have more of in-game chat right after this. Here is music. It's called Cider Time. I don't know what it's from, but I know the guy on Steam, Mogus, I think his name, will send me a text about it and say, that's from such and such, and you should do better about tagging your songs. I know I should, and I haven't, but I should. Anyway, we'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Sometimes I have favorites, and this is one of them. As far as the music's concerned, sometimes I have favorites. So this is from Riven. I'll grab the line. Since we just got back, I'll take the call. And
hold on, caller.
Yeah, hang on a second, caller. There we go.
We'll get you.
There we go. All right. Who is this? You are on In-Game Chat. What's your name?
I'm going to go by the name of Paul.
Okay, Paul. What's up, Paul? this is Mumnut.
Yeah. Did you know?
Well, I can't get in the chat room.
Oh, somebody, yeah. Was that you that did it anyway?
It was.
Oh, that was Lavos, wasn't it? Yeah, it was one of our other guys who did that. And I don't remember why it was.
I'll unban you.
Yeah, unban him. I can't remember what the reason was or what
happened.
Because
he kept posting his
purple frog.
Oh, yeah, the server thing.
Hey, but anyway, I was going to ask RJ about playing art. Y'all were talking last week or two ago about...
trying to fix his phone.
Is it me?
No, it's not you. It's our phone line, but I think you're okay now. Go ahead.
But y'all were talking about sharing Steam accounts.
Yes.
Now, I know I do that with my family at home, but... So, can I share my art account with RJ so he can give it a try?
No, No, you can't.
Not legally.
Not in any way that I know of. I mean, you could give him your Steam login information, and he could log into your account and play it, but then you wouldn't have access to play it yourself.
Maybe that's what y'all were talking about.
No, but that's not how it works. The way Steam sharing works is, so if I wanted to share my Steam account with RJ and he wanted to share his with mine, he would need to come over to my house, log in, or he would need to log in on my computer. My PC, my box, he would have to log into a Steam account there and then authorize... See, his Steam account would recognize that computer's name as belonging to Scott's PC. He would then have to authorize Scott's PC to use his library. Same way that works, it works in the reverse. I would have to log into his Steam account on his system. I would have to log into my Steam account on his system and then authorize that PC to share that account. And then... once that's done, he can see my games, I can see his games. Whenever I'm not playing a game, he can play any of the games that I own, and whenever he's not playing a game, I can play any of the games that he owns. And that's how...
So RJ needs to invite me over to his house, I'll bring a six-pack of beer or two, or a couple of cases or whatever, and do that?
That's exactly right, and he'll see you tomorrow. I'll give you the address off the air.
It is 123 what the two ya road.
Yeah, no. So that's how Steam sharing works.
I just unban you, Mumnut.
Yeah. So you can come back into the chat room.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually sitting outside Maxwell because I couldn't get on with my Uber account. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're doing the Uber thing. All right, man. Well, we appreciate you calling in. Thanks for listening.
All right. I just want RJ to play art. So badly.
Okay.
I thought it was on PS4, but that was some offshoot of Ark, wasn't it? It wasn't the actual
Ark
game.
Is not on PS4 that I know of.
It's only on Xbox and PC.
Yeah, it's on Xbox, PC. Xbox and PC, yeah.
I could have sworn there was something on they were working on for PS4, but okay, I could be wrong on that one. Okay.
Not sure.
Yeah. But. In terms of PC playing, I gotta update that computer first
before
I get that done.
Yeah.
That's a work in progress too. Yeah.
All right, y'all have a good day.
Hey,
all right,
you too. Now. Take care.
If you would like to call in, and not ask for our addresses, but if you would like to call in...
You can.
You can ask. We give him the same one we gave him. Give us a call, 334-272-9228. I would love for you guys to call in anyway, because we're going to talk about E3 at the moment and talk about what we hope for out of these things, what we'd like to see, maybe what we expect, you know, those sort of things. Not really predictions, just our hopes. For what we would like to see. Let's try and go in order here. I'll start with EA. I really hope and I think that we will see whatever it is that Amy Hennig is working on for a Star Wars game.
Yes.
That is what I hope for. She's going to be in LA. She's getting an award from BAFTA They're honoring her at an event in LA on Sunday, and so she's going to be there. And I would imagine that her game is going to get revealed in some way, shape, or form. I haven't spoken to her about the game because I know right now asking her anything will be pointless. There's nothing she'd be able to tell me until after she gets a reveal. So I couldn't even ask her, are you going to reveal it on Sunday? She would not be able to tell me that. So I've avoided mentioning anything about it to her, but I'm hoping that that's what we'll see from EA. I would also love to see whatever it is that Criterion is working on, because that was a couple of years ago that we heard that they were working on something, but now we don't know. We haven't heard anything since, but they are working on something. Although most of the people that are working now at Criterion, a lot of them are from the old Burnout studios, but most of them moved over to Three Fields Entertainment and worked on Dangerous Golf. And that sort of thing. They have the folks at Three Fields who did Dangerous Golf, they have the freedom to make whatever it is that they want to, whereas the folks at Criterion are, they've pretty much flat out said that you're not going to see a Burnout anytime soon. We're working on this other game, whatever it is, and hopefully we'll see more of that. I would like to see more of that. That covers EA, and that covers what I would hope to see from them. Moving on to Bethesda, I don't really have anything there. I have no idea what I might be getting from them. Somebody said you might get a Wolf 2, you know, Wolfenstein 2. That's possibly a little tease there for that. I know we'll get Dishonored 2, so there you go. I don't really have much to look forward to there. I'm going to watch it because I'm excited to see whatever it is that they're going to show, but there's no big titles that I'd like to say I hope they do this with or I hope they do that with. Over to Microsoft. I'm kind of interested in what they're going to do with these new console things, how much they're going to show off or what they're going to talk about. The slim version of the Xbox One that they're going to announce will be great. I'll be curious as to how they're going to price that, and not really curious on when it's going to release, but I'm curious on the pricing of it. And Crackdown 3. I would like to hear more about Crackdown 3. As far as anything else, I don't have much anticipation for, you know, Halo Wars. I think we'll get Halo Wars 2 anyway. But I don't know. There'll be surprises, I'm sure. They'll have a lot of things that will surprise us and stuff that we didn't know was coming. And sometimes those surprises are very underwhelming. Sometimes they're awesome. We'll see. Moving on to Ubisoft, Splinter Cell. That's it. That's my hope. Splinter Cell. Just give me Splinter Cell. You're going to show me Watch Dogs 2. You're going to show me Ghost Recon, but tease me some Splinter Cell. Do that thing that you always do at the end of your press conference when you show this completely fantastic, way beyond anything we'll ever actually get, trailer for a game, you know, and make that Splinter Cell. Just give me that. And then Sony. Originally, I was just going to say I'm very curious as to what the new console is going to be like. The 4K, the Neo. Now that I know we're getting that, and we're going to get into I'm not really interested in their technical demonstration of the VR. I am on a train wreck curious front. How bad's it going to look? How bad is it going to be? How horrible is it going to go on stage when they do a demo of this thing? Because every time they've demoed this thing on stage, it's never gone right. And it's never been able to sell me on their VR. So I'm curious as to how that goes. But from them, there's not a specific game. There's not a specific game that's like, hey, I really hope we get this from Sony. There's not. You know, the guys at Naughty Dog, they're not going to have a Last of Us 2 thing to show off. They're not going to have anything. They just got done with Uncharted 4. They're not going to have anything to show there. We already got the trailer for Horizon Zero Dawn or whatever it's called. We already got the trailer for that and the delay into 2017. We might get some gameplay, which would be great. Last Guardian. There's something I'm hoping that we get gameplay out of, more gameplay, a release date finally to announce for Last Guardian. Other than that, I'm not sure. Maybe an update on that Shenmue 3 thing. maybe an update on the Final Fantasy VII remake that they're doing. Maybe get an update on Kingdom Hearts 3. Hopefully, because it's been a couple of years since they've announced that. And we've still haven't moved forward on that, other than there's been some gameplay. But get something closer to a release on that thing. And what else? There was something else from Sony that I was hoping to see. I could kind of go for another God of War on that system. They haven't released a God of War on PS4, have they? Yeah.
Just the remastered 3.
Of 3, right? Yeah, yeah, which, by the way, is on sale at Best Buy right now. Just the remaster of 3, that's it. So,
AKA, they're working on 4.
Yeah, give me some God of War in there. And there you go. So there's my stuff, and we'll move over to Nathan now.
Last of Us.
Well, let's start with EA. Do you have anything for EA?
EA...
Mass Effect. We'll get some Mass Effect in there.
But I've never played Mass Effect. Okay. Any of them. I am curious of, like you were saying, with the... would that be considered EA? The EA with the new Star Wars. If they do anything with Battlefront 2.
EA is... Right. EA is in a position where every year at E3 they could announce either a sequel to something they've already got in the Star Wars universe or something new in the Star Wars universe.
Well,
because they are the distributors of the games for the Star Wars franchise.
Amy.
Right. No, I understand. But
I couldn't remember if that game was under EA's category.
Yeah, it is. Okay, yeah.
So definitely with that one, I agree. I'm curious to see if they do anything with Battlefield 2 or Battlefront 2.
Right.
If they make that official. Or,
well, obviously, you know we're getting Battlefield 1 footage.
Yeah. But that's happening tomorrow. The gameplay footage.
Well, yeah, that's tomorrow's. That's the first press conference of E3 is tomorrow.
But I didn't know if that was a separate footage of what they were doing.
No, it's probably what they're. It's probably what they're doing. Yeah, it's probably what they're doing.
Yeah. So,
and I can almost guarantee you that they'll also announce, hey, beta signups start today.
Yeah.
For multiplayer, but
or today is beta.
Right. Yeah. Well, you never know. They did it with Hardline.
True. That's very true. I forgot about that.
They did that. See, here we go. Let me go back to the... Because we've got the time for me to verge off onto this. But when I was talking about the documentary of how these things come together, here's EA who put like 16 people on top of a roof in downtown LA playing Battlefield Hardline. Because they cut to those people playing that game. I don't understand. I don't understand the marketing guy who walks into the room full of suits and says... This is going to sell our... This is going to make people buy our game.
This is it.
This is it. We're going to put 16 people on top of a roof downtown LA playing our game. Why? Why do you do that? I mean, I understand there's a spectacle of it, you know?
I was about to say shock value, spectacle, like you said.
Spectacle. There's no shock value from that. but there's, a spectacle to it, but I don't understand it.
Has anyone else done it before?
There's no way for us to go up there and watch them play the game. I don't understand the purpose of putting them on a roof in downtown LA to play Battlefield Hardline. I don't understand that purpose.
Yeah.
That you couldn't have just put them on stage playing and shown off that. But let's put them on a roof and have a nice little flyover camera shot. Anyway, this goes back to my how did that evolve? Somebody had an idea of how are we going to show off gameplay, and it evolved into putting people on a roof. On a skyscraper on a roof downtown LA.
Let's not forget. This is the company that we got Drivatar.
Yeah.
We got Bounce-A-Tar, whatever the heck the soccer one was.
We didn't get Drivatar from them. Drivatar came from Forza.
I thought that was from EA, from Need for Speed.
No. That was the... No. It wasn't. It was Forza.
Oh.
Where we got the Drivatar. Theirs was it was something in Battlefield, but it was like a level
Levolution.
The Levolution. Yeah, that's what we call it.
Okay, well, still Levolution. It's not any better than Drivatar.
No, it's great. Levolution. Drivatar.
Oh, but yeah, so those would be my main ones. They'll never do another Underground 3, so I don't have to worry about that. The next would be Bethesda.
Yeah, Bethesda's the one where I'm just like, it's there. You know?
Yeah, and it's so sad to me, too, because Bethesda's from Maryland.
They're not disappointing me or anything.
Well, no, I just mean because like, I don't have any major games from them, but I lived an hour and a half from their studio. I never knew that all these years. Yeah, I mean, I'm not big on Fallout. I'm not that big on Skyrim type game, their type of game. So, you know, I just enjoy watching that section just to watch it. Then next, it would be Microsoft.
Microsoft kicks off Monday at 11:30.
Microsoft, it'd be nice to see something that would maybe want
a console
one day, sure, maybe. Yeah. You know? Yeah,
that's a good point from somebody who already owns an Xbox One. That's a good point. Microsoft is in a position where they're trying to sell consoles still.
Yeah.
So they need to have a lineup. You know, one of these last year threw off all kind of tradition because usually Microsoft opens with Call of Duty gameplay and then announces they've got the exclusives, but that did not happen. Sony had it, and Sony didn't even open with that. That was stuck in the middle of their presentation, like, oh yeah, Call of Duty, we get the levels, and then move on. So it just wasn't the thing that it used to be anymore. Yeah. It's something you could always expect. Was Man Returns threw a game in there just then that...
Well,
someone...
But that was in my list, which I'm going to talk about that.
Yeah, Sony or Microsoft, if somebody can score the reveal of that or get the exclusive of that, might put you... If Microsoft gets it and it gets an exclusive out of it, which I doubt they will, that wouldn't sell you? That wouldn't put you there?
No.
Okay.
Because they're not getting it.
Yeah.
That's Sony all the way.
You think it's... I know.
Sony.
I know.
It is so Sony. That's going to be their number one reveal. That was when I got to Sony, that was
my
thing.
Oh, my God.
They're so revealing.
Well, let's start with Microsoft, and we'll get to that then.
So I'm done with Microsoft. They need to show me something that I want.
They need to show you something that you want.
Yes, I mean, they could get Red Dead. If they did, then it's going to PC, and then I'll just wait for PC. That's exactly what would happen there. But I'm almost positive Sony's going to get a... Not necessarily an exclusive on that, but anyway, so I'll continue. I am really, really, really looking forward to the PC gaming show.
I am too. I just don't know what I'm going to see from there.
But I just want to say I loved it last year. The guy who had the host, he's a Hearthstone guy, and so I was always watching him, so I was really used to his... He has kind of a quirky sense of humor, but you can kind of get used to him after a while.
I mean, from the PC show, I hope to see more from Planet Coaster, and that's about really...
I just like the general idea of it, just, you know, talking about all the reveal, or not reveal, but, you know, just the PC aspect.
Yeah, last year was the reveal of the AMD card. Yeah, AMD's card.
So, you know, we'll see what happens with there. Then, what's next?
Ubisoft.
Ubisoft. I've never played Dishonored. Mm. So,
That's Bethesda.
Oh, I was thinking they were Ubisoft. But that goes with Bethesda anyways. I am slightly interested, like Matt, into the Ghost Recon.
I'm interested in Ghost Recon as well.
I am curious to see how that goes. Hopefully we'll get a little bit more information on that.
It feels like that's the Rainbow Six I was hoping we would have gotten.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
But we didn't.
There was another title. What else did they have?
They've got Assassin's Creed, but they've already stated that there is no Assassin's Creed this year, so Watch Dogs 2 is the other one. They've got the crew, you know, in their library. They've got...
Excuse me.
You all right?
Sure.
They've got the crew. What else do they have? They got Rayman as part of their library. They've got the Rabbids. They've got... they got Valiant Hearts. They've got Brothers in Arms is also in their library.
Yeah, that'd be nice for them to make a comeback.
Which they teased something, but they never did anything with it.
No, that'd be great to have another.
You know, they had Randy come out for Gearbox and talk about a very Brothers in Armish game, and it never saw the light of day. So,
but like I was saying, I'm kind of done with Ubisoft right now. I'll wait till their stuff comes out.
Yeah, and then you've got Sony.
Sony. Obviously, I hate the whole fanboy thing. I'll just go wherever the games are that I like.
Right.
Typically, I've had one console only, played one another console only, so, you know, don't even go anywhere with that. But for Sony, here's my main things. I think that definitely going to get footage of The Last Guardian.
Yeah. Sony, by the way, was the first time we got footage from Firewatch.
Yeah, that's true, too.
You know, and that ended up being something we all played mostly on PC.
This is completely left field, and I don't expect it to happen. But I could see something happening with Crash Bandicoot. Just like a slight reveal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's completely, I know that's not going to happen, but I just, that'll be my left field announcement with that. So
I saw a thread on NeoGAF.
Yeah, there was something about that.
Where Crash would pop up in a Skylanders title.
In some form, not necessarily his own game, but some form.
Yeah, yeah, there's a rumor.
Crash,
for that.
Yes. As the man said, Crash is back. So then my other thing would be, The Last Guardian, Crash Bandicoot. I think they're going to have some type of exclusive of Red Dead with Sony. And I think it'll just be a typical Western style, reveal, not even show anything, but, just kind of show it on the horse. And then
a title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. And then that will already have people, freaking out.
Yeah, I totally forgot about all those rumors coming in for Red Dead 2 stuff, the map leaks and all these other things.
Now, there's also something I was reading earlier. Make sure, where was it? There was an unannounced game from Sony by Sucker Punch, which might possibly have a reveal. Do you remember who Sucker Punch is?
Yeah, okay. The infamous guys.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So, something there as well that we might be getting. And I am actually slightly interested in Final Fantasy VII only because it's not their normal take a turn. It's the Kingdom Hearts.
Right, yeah.
Kingdom Hearts. And if they switch to that type of combat, I'll totally play just because I love that style of combat. I just hate turn-based, which I understand that's what Final Fantasy is, and that's why I never played it. But if they switch it, then I might be interested in it.
There's a thread on NeoGAF here about a untitled Spider-Man project for PS4, which could be coming from Insomniac or could even be coming from Sucker Punch. So there is possibly, see, there we go. Drunk Degenerates just posted Sucker Punch might be doing a Spider-Man game. Yeah. So that's something we might actually get from Sony's press conference.
I'd be somewhat interested in. Although the last time I played a Spider-Man game was the one on PS2 way back when.
Spider-Man 2?
Yes. That was the one that kind of had the glare in his eye, the cover.
Well, it was
Spider-Man 2.
It was the last one that everybody really considers was the best.
That's
although
the last one I played.
I would give it to you right now that Web of Shadows could give it a run for its money.
I don't know if I played Web of Shadows.
I played Web of Shadows, and I really, really enjoyed Web of Shadows. The swinging they got right on that one, and it was I actually enjoyed it a lot. I really wanted to play some of the others, and I tried to, but they just couldn't match up. Was it Dimensions, the one that took place that had 2014 Spider-Man, Spider-Man Noir, had all those different Spider-Men in it? That was another one I was trying to play, but I just couldn't get into.
So for Sony, my main things are Red Dead.
I'm with you on the Red Dead thing.
Crash.
I'm not with you. I don't care.
And The Last Guardian.
I'm with you.
It's actual official announcements on everything. Yeah. And then I'll, that day, once like I did with Fallout 4, just immediate pre-order.
Yeah. Red Dead, I'm in it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in it. Red Dead, I'm all... over me some Red Dead, buddy. And if it happens, so. All right, RJ, let's go with you.
I have never put a lot of weight in E3.
I know you have.
So I only wait for it till
kind of why I was saving you for last.
The only thing I do with E3, the only thing I've ever done with E3 is wait till the thing is over, then look at highlights.
Exactly.
That's what I look at, really. All these titles that you've talked about, really, I've never really thought about. I don't think I've ever played, really. Red Dead, all the other games like that. I don't think I've ever played those games
never
before.
Never played Red Dead?
No.
God of War, though, right?
God of War, but I haven't played a God of War in a very long time, and I pretty much know the format of what it's going to be, really.
Well, Sony will probably show off more Destiny stuff, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of have a nice little relationship with Activision as far as Destiny is concerned, or with Bungie, I guess. So they'll probably show off some more for
Sony. In terms of Sony, I think King of Fighters 14 is going to be an exclusive to their console, so if any information is available on that, I'd look for that.
Mm-hmm.
If they would put Bayonetta 2, if they would undo the exclusivity for Bayonetta 2, I'd be interested in that.
Injustice 2? Do you have some interest there?
I didn't really care about Injustice, really. I mean,
okay.
I played it, but I didn't really get into it as I do other fighting titles, like Guilty Gear.
Yeah,
which was delayed and released, but I finally got hold of that. But outside of that, not really interested in Injustice 2.
Man, all right.
So like I said, I'll just wait for the highlights and see what's my interest after that.
Well, we got a few minutes here. If anybody wants to call in and give their thoughts on that, you can. 334-272-9228 is the number to call in for. But yeah, that's what we're kind of hoping for. Again, it starts tomorrow with EA in the afternoon, and then it moves on to Bethesda that evening, and then Microsoft starts off Monday morning. Then you got the PC show around 1 o'clock Central Time, and Ubisoft at 3 o'clock Central Time, and then Sony at 8 p.m. Central Time. Things to keep in mind about these is that usually you get reveals of games that are going to be made available at the moment they reveal them. Sometimes there are betas that you can sign up the moment they get revealed, so be prepared for that. Sometimes they're pre-orders for very, very special edition games that will go very, very fast and are revealed that day. So just be prepared to... This is why Amazon is awesome. Because I can pre-order at Amazon and
everything.
All of it. And they'll never charge me until the thing ships. Yep. And so I can cancel out if I feel like canceling out or whatever I want to do. So, yeah, sorry, Drunk to Dangerous. I know the time zones are... There's a great chart somewhere, and I don't know if you have access to a chart. There's charts everywhere that show off the different time zones of where these things are going to be. And let me see if I can find one real quick that I can post into the chat room for you guys, because I know Multile is in Ireland, and Drunk Degenerates is out of town as well. There it is. That's what I'm looking for. Let me copy the image address, and then let me post it right there. Boom. I hope that works. Let me click on that and see if it does. Yep, that works. So I hope that helps you guys for your timetables to figure out when things are going to go on. In fact, let me just post this thread at NeoGAF, because this also has links to the streams of where you can watch and everything else. Did I say Russia? I meant Germany. I'm sorry.
The motherland.
I don't know why I said Russia. Yeah, there's that thread has a good little database of.
What time will be watching E3?
What time E3? What time you watch E3? Let me watch. I want to see E3 and video games. We're just letting the time count down.
This is completely off topic.
No, it's fine. Warcraft, I didn't talk about that, did I?
No, but did you see the one video? It was kind of online, pushing around. The guy who did all the different Walmart or Target
clothes. And he did the Russian one, too. And I was like, there's Russian.
My favorite, though, was the black guy.
Our store will be closing. No, I saw Warcraft.
Yes.
I went and saw that yesterday.
I'll be seeing it tomorrow.
And you're going to see it tomorrow. So talking to you next week will be good.
Yeah, because I have my orc costume and everything.
Yeah. I was bored. Let me get to the positives. Good God. The 3D is great, by the way. I saw it in 3D. If you've got a thing against 3D, that's fine. But I saw it in 3D and I loved it. The orcs and everything, the orcs in this, I've seen the trailers, but good God, it was amazing just to see it in the film like that. The orcs are beautiful. It's fantastic what they've done with those guys. So that's great. But I was bored for the most part. I told Nate this, that I can't even tell if they did a good job explaining everything. I don't think they did because I was bored, but as someone who is no familiarity with the lore of Warcraft, I was completely lost and unknown of what was going on.
Yeah, see, I was about to ask you, did it feel like a movie that appealed to the players of the game or to the moviegoer who has no idea what Warcraft?
I would say that it doesn't to the moviegoer who has no idea, but I can't say that to somebody who's experienced the game if it was still justified, because I don't have that experience. Mm-hmm. That's something we'll get from Nate, I guess, next week after he sees it.
Right.
Well, to know if that really, if that works as for a fan.
Yeah.
As a non-fan, it doesn't seem to work.
Yeah. Is it entertaining to someone who has no idea what Warcraft is about? Yeah.
If you
just wanted a fantasy action film, I guess, to see.
I knew that there was much more going on in the entire movie than what I was being shown.
Okay.
I knew that because I know this lore is very deep and very massive.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like they were just running at a pace of, you should already know these things. You should already know what this guy can do or who this guy is or all these different things that they talk about. And I don't want to say I felt lost. I just felt like it was a standard fantasy, but because of that, it was kind of low on the totem pole of good fantasy adventure type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
However, if I had knowledge going into it, maybe that would have gone up. I can't really say. The beginning of the film, they start naming the places that you go to. Like every time it goes to a new scene, you'll see the title of where you're at. Ironforge popped up, and it was like, okay, there's Ironforge. Then they went to this really nice place, and Stormwind popped up. And I said, okay, that's Stormwind. After that, they never name another place. I don't know if it all... Obviously, it doesn't... I guess it doesn't all take place in Stormwind, but I don't know. But they never name any other place after that. So if they went to any other areas, I have no idea.
Hmm.
What?
On the shirt for the E3, what's the third event?
On the what?
It has EA.
Oh, on the chart?
Yeah, on the E3. Sorry.
Let me look at the chart real quick.
Cataqua?
Hang on. Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Well, yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Okay.
Google it and find out. I have no idea what that is.
I just thought I missed something.
Yeah. I have no clue. Let me go through this. Ooh, is that a Microsoft PC Gaming Show? Yeah, they don't even list that of whatever that is. So I'm not sure. There you go. So for Warcraft, I mean, I hope you guys enjoy it when you go see it. Those of you who are familiar with what's going on, I hope that it...
And I'll be honest, I'm super familiar with it, and I'm still confused on certain things. I mean, it's a deep thing. While not at E3, Japanese publisher Cataqua Games will hold its own press conference during E3 time, featuring the latest information on new titles like Demon Gaze 2, God Wars Beyond Time, Root Letter, and so on.
Okay.
Nothing I'll do.
They were just being all-inclusive, I guess, when they made that chart. So,
yes.
You know, somebody out there probably knows what that is. And
yeah, I'll probably miss the beginning of
Bethesda. Was very interested in it.
I'll probably miss the beginning of Bethesda tomorrow, but Bethesda is my least intrigued.
I don't know that I'll see much of Bethesda at all happening at 10:30 at night.
Well, on the shirt it says 9.
That's what I thought too. But still, that's still pretty late for me when I got to get up at 4:30. I'll still watch it though. Even if it was 10:30, I'd still watch it. So we got to go though. We got to wrap things up.
We don't have to go.
Yeah, no, we got to go.
Nah, there's
other people who want to come in and
do
a show.
No, another hour.
Anyway, thanks everybody for joining us in the chat room, as well as everybody listening on the stream, and even I can turn your mic off, even on the radios. Thanks to everybody who grabs us each week from iTunes or however you get our show for later use. We really appreciate it. Head on over to ingamechat.net. You can join us on Twitter, Facebook, our forums at colonyofgamers.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, and if you're on Steam, we've got a Steam group there. You can join up with us and other players or other listeners and play games with us. I turned you off. What did you want? What?
So we can play CSGO. Yeah. Join me now. Competitive. We're going. Anyway. Going pro.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your
Goodbye.
E3, and we will see you next Saturday.
Hello.
Here's music from Sonic 3.